Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into Sal Sports Live, another edition. It's a really, really cool Thursday night to be doing this because obviously the big news broke just a little while ago. Actually, while I was on the air, I was hosting with Bulldog today on WGR. I was doing drive time with Bulldog, the PM show today. And while we were on the air, we got the breaking news from the Bills that Brandon Bean, general manager, has signed a contract extension. I've been able to verify via a league source that that contract extension will run concurrently with Sean McDermott's contract extension. They're both now locked up through the 2025 season, which is obviously a big deal for Bills fans, the program that they've built and they continue to build since both of them arrived in 2017. Two playoff appearances in 3 years, a 9-3 record right now. Very well deserved for both Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. So we'll talk about that tonight, but we got to talk about the Steelers and the Bills because that happens on Sunday night. So we'll get right to that. Of course, if you're watching on the live stream tonight, I appreciate that right here on Twitter or on our Facebook page, my Facebook page, Sal Sports on Facebook, or, of course, my YouTube channel, Coach Sal C on YouTube, if you want to check it out there. You can go back to any of those platforms also and make sure that you can rewatch it. If you haven't watched the live stream, you're not watching right now, maybe you're listening, it's the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast. We do it every week here, and then we turn it around and we put the audio on the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast. So we're going to bring in our special guest right now, as we do every week, have somebody from the opposing city, and this week, it's my pleasure to welcome a friend of mine I've known for many years. In fact, too many years. That means we're getting old. Tim Benz from Pittsburgh. He joins me. He is a host, radio columnist, everything, TV, does it all in Pittsburgh. What's going on, buddy? Good to see you.
You know, I know that we're getting old, too, because now that Syracuse is getting beaten by Ron Harper's kid.
Oh, yes, right.
I think he scored three times during your open there, Sal. That's how hot he was against Syracuse the other night. Not only that, but I saw Jamal Mashburn's kid is playing too somewhere now.
It's amazing. Well, I mean, think about this. When Antoine Winfield's kid was getting drafted this year.
NFL, there you go.
I'm like, oh my God. And you know, watching him in college and seeing that, that's insane. Hey, speaking of kids, is the Marcus Allen that looks like he's got to play now on defense because of the injuries, is he related to Marcus Allen?
No, he is not. No.
Okay. All right. Well, Tim Benz joins me.
I would like for him to be related to Jack Lambert, though. That would be nice because they kind of need an inside linebacker right about now.
Yeah, they do for sure. We'll talk about that. Let's, in fact, start there. Tim and I, we've known each other for a long time. We try to help each other out when Pittsburgh and Buffalo are going at it in one of the sports, whether that's hockey or football. So I really appreciate him taking the time here tonight and also on the podcast if you're listening that way. The big news has been the injuries. I mean, they lose Devin Bush. They lose Spillane as his replacement. And then, obviously, Dupree. And now Vince Williams on the COVID list. Well, what are they going to do at linebacker here?
Yeah, the offense is broken and the defense is decimated by injury. It's not good. Ulysses Gilbert was up and practicing today. They got Avery Williamson, who they acquired from the Jets, and I assumed that Spillane would just be holding down the fort until they could get Williamson up to speed, but they never seemed to have much of an interest in getting him up to speed beyond being Spillane's backup, and now he has to back him up, and it looked pretty lousy, actually, against the Redskins in the middle of the field as that game wore along. You know, J.D. McKissic looked more like J.D. Falk or, you know, like a mini Roger Craig coming out of the backfield. I think he caught 10 passes for 70 yards against the Steelers. So if that's something the Bills saw on tape, you know, I don't think they use their backs a ton up there, do they? I mean, the 44 catches combined between the running backs is what I looked up today.
They're willing to, but they spread their – it's a really more of a receiver-heavy passing game at this point.
Right. I mean, but you can use Cole Beasley in that fashion, just not out of the backfield. I think they're in real trouble at that position. And, you know, the inside linebacker is just attrition by the depth chart, but Bud Dupree is literally a franchise tag player. You know, he's a very – improved and very good football player, has become that over the last 2 years, and losing him was huge because so much of that defense's success is predicated on the pass rush of the edges, those two guys, and then from about the tackle to the guard with a push up the middle from Tuitt and Cam Hayward. So, you know, if you take one of those four out of the mix, you're eliminating 25% of what I deem to be the most important element of that defense.
And when I looked at it, Marcus Allen, he was listed as a safety. Are they basically playing a guy who's not really a true linebacker, maybe an inside linebacker? Or is that just a he has played?
Yeah, they've called him a linebacker this year, and he's been in the linebacker room, frankly, since the middle of training camp. So, I mean, he's still built more like a safety, but he's kind of been a dime backer, a dime-specific inside linebacker. But he's essentially a safety playing that role. He has been in the linebacker room. They've wanted us to refer to him as such, but he's been a safety his whole life. And that position has just sort of morphed more and more over the past 2 years, 3 years for the Steelers. Really, ever since Shazier left, they've kind of tried different iterations of hybriding that position. They tried it with Morgan Burnett, and that blew up in their face. Honestly, Terrell Edmonds does some of that, you know. Bush is probably a slightly oversized safety, but he plays inside linebacker, you know. And he was getting it. He was getting better. He was not Shazier yet, but what made that defense dynamic, particularly at the start of the season, was the speed element. And you take Devin Bush off the field, you take Bud Dupree off the field at the edge, and I think where his speed really showed was more in the run game than the pass rush game, to be honest with you. I mean, he would really crash off the edge, and they did a great job against some elite running backs early in the season, in part because of that. It's not the same defense that we saw when they got off to that really good 7-0 start, and then things started to wobble a little bit when they went to Dallas.
They can still get after the quarterback, though, right? I mean, their numbers are still okay. I mean, they don't have some of the guys, and that's because they'll generate pressure. I think I heard when they played the other night, one of the broadcasters say that Mike Tomlin says, hey, if we can't get there with four, we'll bring five. We can't get there with five, we'll bring six. Does that philosophy change given the personnel now?
Yeah, I thought they were going to blitz a little bit more, and I guess they did. I'd have to go back and look a little bit closer at the numbers, what their blitz percentage was against Washington, but Vince Williams is probably their most skilled blitzer, he and Mike Hilton. You take Vince Williams off the field now because of COVID, right. That's another element to diminishing their pass rush, because I thought that might be a nice supplement to not having Dupree, is that you could bring Vince Williams blitzing a bit more often. They've just been reticent to do that because they don't want to expose the secondary.
All right, so now you have the secondary where Joe Hayden is in concussion protocol. So what does that do? It looks like, I mean, here we are Thursday. He hasn't practiced, so it's not looking good for him, Tim. What does it look like in the back end without Joe Hayden?
Shaky. He was out there today. I mean, he's doing what – remember, of course, because of the Monday night game, the Bills are going through it too. Everything's kind of moved back a day for the protocol and all. But he was bouncing around. He really seemed up. Maybe they can squeeze him in. I don't know. But if he can't go – you've got Steve Nelson coming back after an off week, where if it was in fact the knee that was the issue, I'm sure they'd like to, if they're in a better state, to give him an extra week, but they can't because of the importance of the Bills game, and they just lost a game. They're not only trying to stave off the Bills, they're trying to keep up pace with the Kansas City Chiefs as well. So, yeah, I think both corners are a question. Cam Sutton does a nice job wherever you put him. You know, he's a good, versatile player. Defensive back. I never feel like they're completely naked out there when they throw Sutton into whatever position. Getting Hilton back as their nickel guy is big, but it's almost bigger in the run game and the blitz game than it is the coverage game. He's not that great of a coverage guy, but you know, it's basically on Cam Sutton taking on a larger role, and it's also on Justin Lane, who is starting to get woven in more and more due to attrition being Goodwin called upon.
Tim Benz, that's the voice you hear, and maybe even the guy you see on your screen. If you're watching on the screen right now on the live show or maybe listening on the podcast, you can follow him over at Tim Benz with a Z, and that's Tim Benz, PGH, over in Pittsburgh. Does a lot of stuff, Pittsburgh media, Steelers, Penguins, he'll talk about it all. But I want to talk about the offense now for these Steelers, because it seems to me that, you know, they have been very much relying on Ben Roethlisberger to bail him out of a few plays here or there, and he's done a good job of that, you know, this year. But lately, a lot of drop passes, not able to do that. What's the state of the passing game as of late?
I think the passing game is made worse by the absence of the run game because it's being used too much. They have thrown 104 passes the last 2 weeks in games where they were tied or trailing for a grand total of 3 minutes.
Wow.
Like, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, why are you throwing so much?
Right. Because you can't run. They literally can't run. And it's not just the absence of James Conner. They have trouble running when James Conner is in there too. Matt Filer, their left guard, should still be playing right tackle, in my opinion. Their best run blocking offensive lineman, if it's not this year, soon will be Kevin Dotson, and they're not playing him. And I don't know why. David DeCastro, I think, is playing injured. Hasn't looked like himself, especially in the run game. They haven't had Pouncey now for two games. J.C. Hassenauer is a backup at center. Chuks Okorafor has been fine in the pass protection game at right tackle, but he's no Rogue Grader out. It's not like when Willie Colon was playing right tackle or Max Starks, who were capable run guys. And Villanueva is who he is. He's a good player, but I think all the guys up front, it's hard to become a good offensive lineman when in the run game when you never do it. Like, they are run blocking essentially 30% of the time in games, and they're not practicing as much as they used to. And how much contact do you really have in the run game anyway in practice in the NFL these days? And whenever they run out of the gun. And I think it's making it awfully easy for defensive linemen to figure out what to do. You know, you can just come up the field as far as you can in 2 seconds and put your hands up. That you saw, that's what the Redskins did. Yep. They went upfield, they pressed upfield for 2 seconds, and then put their hands up. Because all Ben is doing is throwing these little dinks and dunks all over the place. Every pass is behind the sticks. If you ask me, that's a huge reason why they've got as many drops as they do. You know, you're running every play behind the sticks. So these receivers, as James Washington alluded to after the game against Washington, and it sounded like, you know, you hear this all the time when a batter's in a batting slump. What's the matter? Oh, my mechanics are a little bit off. Goalie's in a slump. What's the matter? Well, you know, I'm not playing my angles great. Like, you can go to these sort of cliches and tropes that always just are catch-alls for players and that are in a bad state right now. And receivers say, well, it's a lack of concentration. Well, the reason why they're concentrating on something else is the ball is going only going 4 yards in the air, and they got to get 3 more yards on a 3rd and 7 after they catch it to get the first down. You know, a lot of times it's a lot easier to catch the ball when you see with your eyes, you've passed the sticks. You turn around, you wait for the ball to come here, and you know if you catch it, you've done your job, and the offense stays on the field.
Right.
These guys have to catch the ball, and the defenses are so compressed in the Steelers right now. 4 guys can take care of the line of scrimmage because you're not running. The other 7 guys can be then between 4 yards off the ball, and they don't have to worry about the back third of the defense too much because Ben's so rarely going deep. So you've got a ton of people around you. They're worried about getting hit. They're worried about securing the ball and then making a move to get across the chains, or else, you know what? They're going off the field anyway. So, you know, they've had 35 plays over the past 2 weeks against Washington and Baltimore that were pass plays that were either batted down to the line of scrimmage, dropped, intercepted, or just otherwise incomplete. You take half of those, half, let's 17. And if they only get 1 yard per rush, that's 17 more yards than you got in those other pass plays. And maybe if you get 3 on a rush, you're going to 3rd and 7 or 2nd and 7. And maybe that 6 yard pass that you're running short of the sticks, you complete that one. And then you can go for it on 3rd and 1 with a run or a throw on 4th down, which, by the way, they've screwed that up too.
Well, I heard Tomlin on Monday, I think, or Tuesday, I guess it would be, say, he knows about the run game. They want to make more of a commitment. And they're getting James Conner back. So, and the Bills at times this year have been leaky against the run. They're kind of hot and cold. They're streaky like that. I think they've been much better as of late. It's more the physical run teams that come right at you that give them a little bit more trouble. But if they do commit more with James Conner, like, how much confidence would you have that they would maybe start to turn that around?
Not much. Cause like I said, they've been spotty running the ball before that. You know, like Connor's been out for two games now. They weren't great the two previous games.
Is coming back?
I don't think he's coming back this week.
He hasn't been removed yet from the list, so I doubt it, but
I kind of lose track of some of these guys on the COVID list. He was not out there today. I don't think he's eligible to come off till tomorrow.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I think if he comes off tomorrow and you see him there, yeah, then he'd probably come back. But I'm not certain about that because we are not told if they're sick or if they just got a positive. So if he's a close contact positive, or, you know, even if he's genuinely sick and he's not showing and he's asymptomatic, then maybe he can come back. I think part of the struggle that you saw with the Ravens in that game against the Steelers is a lot of those guys were actually sick and trying to come back, and they were really logy, you know, like battling through it. We haven't seen too much of that from the Steelers. The Steelers have been struck by COVID in a lot of other ways. They seem to get one guy at a time. It's constantly like one guy at a time. They had a couple pop up the same week of the Ravens, but you know why? There's 10 days in between games there. So it compacted, and then that's why they ran into a little trouble.
All right. So the schedule and everything that happened there, and I know Eric Ebron had some things about it. Jeremy over here, as you know, our morning show host, Jeremy White, he was kind of having some fun with that. He's like, when Eric Ebron complained about three games in 12 days, he said, someone want to tell them they were originally scheduled to have three games in 12 days when they're supposed to play on Thanksgiving. Like, so maybe how much is it up here? How much is it mental that maybe what has happened recently is on that? Because if you ask Bills fans, they'll tell you they think it did have a lot to do with what happened in Tennessee and against Kansas City when they went through their situation of having their games moved around.
I think it did a little bit, but it shouldn't. You know, it affected Baltimore way more than it affected Pittsburgh. You know, and the game that I always worried about when it came to the attrition of the 3 days or three games in 12 days. And you're right about that. I think they've gone three games in 12 days, something like five times in the last 7 years. It's not all that foreign. So they shouldn't really be all that concerned about it. And, you know, I thought they got the benefit of the swap between them and Dallas anyway. I would rather have the Steelers get the extra day to prepare for the Bills than what they didn't have to prepare for Washington. Right. You know, like that was my view on it, but they lost to Washington anyway. You know, we were waiting for the quote unquote classic Tomlin trap game all year. There were plenty of opportunities. They avoided it. And it happened against Washington. But I'm really worried about the Buffalo game. I was always concerned about the Buffalo game as one that could end their unbeaten season regardless.
Right.
Now I think it's one the Bills not only win, but win pretty easily based on what I've seen from the performance of the Steelers. And to answer your initial question, is some of it mental? Yeah, probably, but it shouldn't be. And how it manifested in the losses against Baltimore and Washington, that's got nothing to do with mental acuity or lack thereof when you're throwing 104 times when you're up for almost 57 minutes of each game. Right. You know, it's like that's got nothing to do with mental acuity. That's play selection, and that's a lack of execution.
Since I came back to Buffalo 10 years ago and you went back to Pittsburgh not too long ago, several years ago, though, we've talked every time we talk. I ask you about Ben Roethlisberger because it always seems like he's right there at the end of his career, but he keeps on trugging along and keeps getting things done. So let me ask you about Ben Roethlisberger. Where is he at this stage of his career? How's he playing this year, and what's the future hold?
Yeah, I don't think they've got any immediate plans to move on from him. They certainly don't have a structure in place. And, you know, especially at some point that last year, the contract is going to come due. It's either going to be dead money or they're going to have to pay him. He's going to have to walk into his last year and then retire. And I don't know when that's coming. I don't think Mason Rudolph is the successor. They keep talking about him, that they're comfortable with him. But I think they're comfortable with him only in terms of being a backup and absolutely when called upon in a crunch. So Ben looks healthy. I think we are going to have to start asking questions about why so few balls go downfield right now. It's either literally really short underneath 5 and 6 yard passes, or it's throw it up down the sidelines and hope your guy runs underneath it. Is that because he just doesn't have the arm strength anymore? He insists his elbow's okay, but I feel like a lot of these quick passes are to protect him from not getting hit. And I think that is, by extension, a protection of the offensive line. But I also think that Ben likes the control that he has within this offense. And I think he likes the fact that it makes them look good, the tune of 11-0 after they were 8-8 without him last year. But something about that right now is very, very broken. And that's got to do a little bit, I think, too, with Ben seeding on some of these RPOs and just allowing the ball to be run. And like Sal, twice in the last two games, they've even come back. They've come in with jumbo packages. They bring in a fullback, Derek Watt. He touches the field five times in the last two games or something like that. Two of the times they brought him in, they flexed him out. And they're bringing in an extra tight end, or they're bringing in Gerald Hawkins, who's a glorified offensive lineman playing an extra tight end. And then they throw, like they did on the Anthony McFarland play that blew up in their face at the end of the game, to turn the ball back over to Washington when they were afraid to kick with the backup kicker from 45 yards out. Like there are some times where if you're going to go with a jumbo package, just run the ball behind it then.
Is this a case of outthinking yourself? You know,
yes.
Like,
yes.
Trying to outthink the room, basically.
Yeah, that I can't think of another reason why you would throw to a running back who's in his first year, has caught five passes, and has never run that route before. Like Roethlisberger took us through this Venn diagram. He sounded like, you know, Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind, trying to describe why the play didn't work and what he did wrong to not help Anthony McFarland. The best way to have Anthony McFarland helped in that situation is have a wide receiver run the pattern instead of him.
Right.
You know, if you want to help him, don't put him in that situation. But they didn't know it was coming, and we know that John Boston can't cover, so we're going to put a fast running back out there. He's turning and twisting around. You can tell he's never run the pattern before. It was I don't know, a big bag of rocks, and they tried to kick it down the field, and they blew it.
Well, speaking of kicking it down the field, Boswell's still hurt. He's got the hip injury. Matthew Wright comes in, practice squad kicker. They elected not to go for that longer field goal a little bit later. How much – it could be a bit of a windy, wet night in Buffalo. Yeah. I mean, I think the rain's probably going to stop, but as the sideline reporter, I'm trying to stay on top of the weather always. How much would that affect them? And then also tell me about Ray McLeod a little bit, a guy we had here in Buffalo that I know the Bills regime really liked, but they just couldn't find a spot for him when it was all said and done.
Boswell was at practice today, and I think he'll be okay to kick. I don't know why you have a kicker on your roster if you're scared to death to go to him for 45 yards out. And they should have brought on somebody else. I'm sure there's a veteran kicker out there that they could assign.
Right.
The special teams have been spotty three of the last 5 weeks. One of the few things that was good against Washington was the kicker. You know, he came in, he nailed both of his extra points and one field goal. I think that, you know what, they were so bad running on fourth and short, and they were so bad throwing on third and fourth and short, I would have preferred the devil that you don't know. Give me the kicker who's never kicked before, and let me see if he can kick it into the open end of Heinz Field. Why not? I know the other two things aren't working great. That's why you decided to throw to a running back for the first time in his life on a fly pattern. So, you know, that's as much of a risk to me as taking the kicker and say kicking from 45 yards out at Heinz Field. That's never done it before. So I don't know. I think Ray McLeod, the other guy that you brought up, he's been good. I thought he was better early than he has been these last couple weeks. He's had a couple bobbles, nearly got Cam Sutton killed against Washington. I don't know if you saw that part of the game yet. It was early in the game. First punt from Washington. He calls a fair catch. Then the ball bounces. He panics and decides to run. Right. Washington then decides to, you know, try to tackle him. Cam Sutton saw he called a fair catch and just pulled up in the play and nearly got destroyed. Like, you can't do that as a returner. He's a better slot guy, I think, than what they had in Ryan Switzer. You know, especially for all the underneath crossing stuff that they run, he's got a role there. And he did have one really good kick return. He did have a good punt return a couple weeks ago against Cincinnati. He had a really nice punt return. So there's some explosion there. Nice player, has gotten a little inconsistent with his ball handling, put one on the ground and then picked it up quickly against Washington. They got to shore that stuff up.
All right, before I let you go, get a question here. Pierre Martinez says, how to deal with TJ Watt? And the reason I ask this is, how much is the loss of Dupree and the loss around him at the second level? How much has that or will that impact TJ Watt, who obviously is a tremendous player?
Yeah, it didn't appear, and you know, don't know what Washington likes to do enough along the offensive line to speak intelligently about how much extra attention they showed him and left open on the backside for Alex Highsmith. But, you know, TJ was still disruptive in that game against Washington. He got, I think he was part of two sacks, stripped the ball, made the mistake of trying to pick it up. If he just pounces on it there, maybe the game's over. Had a bad holding call near the goal line that reset the down and distance for Washington. They eventually scored on it. And that's the height of irony that TJ Watt gets busted for a defensive holding call when he's held on every play. So to answer your guys' question, what's the answer? Hold him.
There you
hold
go.
Hold him on every play because much like James Harrison, maybe Joey Porter before that, but especially Harrison, they only call holding a couple times per game, even if it's happening all the time. And Watt gets held on every play. And when he's not being disruptive, that's usually why. And oftentimes it looks like the opposing offensive line gets away with it.
All right, my friend. Well, in a normal year, I'd say maybe I'll see you on Sunday, but that's not going to be the case this year, obviously, with everything going on.
Right.
That said, I appreciate you doing this. I'm just going to step away and talk to my listeners about Brandon Bean's extension for a little while. And then you and I are going to chat.
We're going to go the other way.
The other way. We'll do the other way. So I
appreciate I told you why the Steelers are going to flame out. Now you're going to tell me why the Bills are going to go to the Super Bowl and win it this time.
So. I don't know about that, but they're playing well. We'll talk about it. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it.
You got it.
All right. That is Tim Benz. He does a great job over in Pittsburgh, and he is he's a good friend of mine. We've been doing this for a long time. Every time we have Pittsburgh, Buffalo connections, sports, Bills, Sabres, we get together, we talk about it. I do want to talk about the Brandon Bean extension. The Bills signed Brandon Bean to an extension. It was announced on Thursday night, Thursday evening, if you will. It is, and I've confirmed through my sources, that it is a extension that runs concurrent basically with Sean McDermott's extension, which is through this 2025 season. So 5 years after this, which is great. But the thing I want to really bring up here is it's not just Brandon Bean. He's done a tremendous job. Of course, he gets the credit for building the roster, but that's because he also has a great staff around him. And I was going through it today. I tweeted it out at Sal Sports in case you didn't see it. Go follow me and figure it out there on Twitter at Sal Sports. Brandon Bean's staff, Joe Shane, assistant GM, Dan Morgan, player personnel director, Malik Boyd, pro personnel director, Terrence Gray, director of college scouting, Lake Dawson, assistant director of college scouting, Brian Gain, a personnel advisor, Dennis Hickey, their senior national scout. That is an all-star front office, folks. For the first time, really, I mean, really for the first time in my life, and I think I've probably felt this way before optimistically in the past, like, okay, yeah, I feel good about this or I feel good about that, but I truly believe for the first time in my adult life, the Bills are in some really, really, really good hands for a long time. And even at the times where I felt, oh, it looks like they're on the right track. You know, I mean, I think Buddy Nix did some nice things at times and Doug Whaley did some nice things at times, but there was always strife. There was always power struggle. There was always the, you know, not knowing the value of contract extensions or trades for draft picks and things like that, whatever happened and those kinds of things. You'd see glimmers of optimism. Here, I just think this is a steady ship right now with a really good staff that's involved. And I think Brandon Bean has done an amazing job to put that staff together. So the thing about it is, if the Bills do lose one of them to a GM job, like a Joe Shane, like a Dan Morgan, because to me, those guys are going to be GMs one day. Brian Gain has already been a GM in Houston. Dennis Hickey's already been a GM in Miami. They have guys who've already been GMs on their staff. But if they do happen to lose one of them, a Terrence Gray, a Malik Boyd, they go somewhere else, they get a promotion. First of all, good for them. They've earned it. Don't be mad at them ever. Second of all, I have full confidence that Brandon Bean has created such a good pipeline. And this is partly why he gets an extension. It's not just for the winning. It's not just for finding the franchise quarterback, which I think most of us would agree it seems like they have hit on now in Josh Allen. The reason why Brandon Bean also gets an extension is because you see the roster of personnel people he's put together. I'm not talking about players, personnel people, his staff, and what he's been able to do for this organization. You give him an extension because you know that if any of those people leave, you have confidence. If you're Terry and Kim Pegula, you have confidence that this man is going to continue to bring those kind of people into your organization to basically keep this thing going. And on top of that, more than anything, his relationship with Sean McDermott is incredible, right? I mean, for what it means for this organization, what it means for the future. Sean was asked last week before the 49ers game about that relationship because it's the similar type of situation they have in San Francisco when the Bills were playing the 49ers. So he's asked about how that thing went down. Sean interviewed for the 49ers job. He didn't get it. They hired Kyle Shanahan. Then the 49ers bring on John Lynch as a GM. And they are really in lockstep together. They have a very good relationship. And Sean was asked about the similarities between the two organizations. And he basically said, like, you know, how good of a relationship it has to be and how it is. And I've never worried about Brandon Bean not getting an extension. He's done a great job on the player side. He's done a great job on the coach side and the relationship and the communication and, you know, how that thing works. But I want to bring up, and I think one of the things that isn't talked about enough or understood enough about what how much it means to this organization, if you're a Bills fan, you should feel very good, not just about the people in charge, but about the people under the people in charge. That is a really good front office that the Bills have right now under Brandon Bean. And this is an extension that's well-deserved. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for his family. And I'm happy for Bills fans that they get to have a guy like Brandon Bean and a guy like Sean McDermott that you don't have to worry about now for quite a while. And they're building this thing. They're building it the right way. And they're on a really, really, really good track. All right. Before we head on out of here, Bills Steelers Sunday night. It's the first time the Bills are ever going to be on Sunday Night Football in an actual scheduled game on NBC. Now, I'm talking about the NBC format when they went to that back in what, 07, whenever was it, maybe even before that, 06, 05, whatever it was. The first year that NBC started doing it, the Bills had never been scheduled on a Sunday Night Football game. They've only been flexed in to a couple of them. In 07, they were flexed in against the New England Patriots. They lose 56-10 in the Patriots' undefeated regular season. Last year, they get flexed in at Pittsburgh. The Bills win. These games were not scheduled. This is the first time this Sunday the Bills will play on a Sunday Night Football game that's actually been scheduled from the beginning to be played, which is pretty incredible. It's a big deal. It's a big day. It's a big game. If the Bills win, they're one step closer to that ultimate goal of winning the division for the first time in 25 years. Here's what needs to happen. The Bills need to beat the Steelers. The Chiefs need to beat the Dolphins, which could happen. And then next Saturday, if all that happens, next Saturday, both those things happen, Bills win, Chiefs win. We'll know about the Chiefs and Dolphins before the Bills play. If that happens, the Bills can clinch the division with a win at Denver next Saturday. And Bills Mafia will go crazy. And that will be so cool. I'll be on tomorrow morning with Howard and Jeremy in the morning, 7 o'clock on Friday morning. We'll have Buffalo Football Friday. All of your previews coming your way. We got all your pregame show stuff coming on Sunday, of course, on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network and on WGR Sports Radio 550. I appreciate everybody who comes along here on the stream. We do it every Thursday night. Or if you're listening on the podcast, Sal Sports and stuff, go download the podcast. Sometimes there's podcasts that aren't particularly just the live show. So if you don't know about the podcast, go download it. Go listen to it. It can be found on Apple iTunes. You can find it, of course, at WGR550.com. Just type in Sal Sports and stuff. All right. Colorado Craig. Yes, right. He says, clinch in Denver? Maybe Colorado Craig. Maybe they get that chance in Denver. I don't know what the situation is with fans, and maybe you'd be able to see them. All right. Thanks a lot for coming to the show tonight. Thanks a lot to my special guest, Tim Benz. Thanks for downloading, listening, subscribing. I'll talk to you on Friday on WGR and, of course, this weekend as the Buffalo Bills take on the Pittsburgh Steelers Sunday on WGR, the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, Sunday night.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Do you dream of seeing all 30 ballparks? We've got you. For the first time, MLB and T-Mobile offer you a chance to win trips to all 30 stadiums. Yes, all 30. The views, the food, the vibe, the adventure of a lifetime with experiences you simply need to see to believe. Enter now.
Begin your journey to 30 at MLB.com/journey to 30 sweeps. No purchase necessary. Ends 9/7/2026. Restrictions apply. Food not included. See official rules for details.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and save thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. An Autodesk company.